Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
It is Monday, the 7th of December. A very good morning and welcome to Africa Link with me, Jane Ayeko Kumet, in Bonn, Germany. In today's edition, difficult task as Nigeria's President Muhammadu Buhari steps up his fight against corruption.
Corruption has permeated practically everywhere in the country. Corrupt politicians and leaders don't even hide it.
China-Africa cooperation, a win-win deal as Zimbabwe's President Robert Mugabe praises China's president as a godsend person.
Here is a man. He is doing to us what we expected those who colonized us yesterday to do.
All that plus learning by ear series Crime Fighters coming up shortly.
Top story.
We start in Nigeria, where President Muhammadu Buhari has intensified the battle against corruption. But as his fight gains momentum, the recently defeated People's Democratic Party, PDP, claims its members are being unfairly targeted. Last week, former Amekano Dasuku Sambo and a former junior minister, Bashir Yagudu, were arrested in connection with an arms corruption deal. The two are yet to be presented in court. Critics of Buhari say spending more than 48 hours in cells is a violation of their human rights. I've been speaking to our correspondent Sam Olukoya in Nigeria about the latest developments and what people have been saying about the arrests.
There is concern in some quarters that all those arrested, including Sambo Dasuki, are still in detention. And there have been some reaction from the opposition, the families of those detained, and even some lawyers, that you do not detain people indefinitely that way. There are insinuations that they are being detained because they were part of the former government, or they worked with the former government, that it is all, the detention is all political. But then so many other people have argued that that is not right. There is nothing political about this, given that the gravity of offense these people have been alleged to have committed, that the government is actually acting in order.
Like you just said, the families and those, let's call them associates of the arrested people, are claiming they are being arrested indefinitely. That means they are trying to associate this with a matter of human rights violation. Are they planning to take action or to contest this arrest in line with the human rights violation?
Yes, I believe that if within the next few days these people are not released, then definitely you will see litigations that center on human rights violations coming up. But I also believe that the government also is not going to let go so easily by in terms of releasing these people. They will want to keep them in detention while investigation goes on. And of course, the law actually provides for things like this. And if it is not possible, what they might do is to try and convince the court that if at all you are allowing these people to go on bail, then the bail has to be very, very stringent so that they don't jump bail. So definitely we shall see the legal fireworks coming up in the coming days if some of those people who have been detained are not released shortly.
Are we likely to see more arrests taking place?
Beyond the $2.2 billion arms deal, there are other issues which the government is focusing attention on. Just towards the weekend, there was the case of money meant for maritime patrol, which was also very huge. About seven key officials were detained in connection with this. Definitely, we are seeing a lot happening, and in the coming days, in the coming weeks also, I imagine that more will still happen.
I was speaking to Sam Olukoya in Lagos. The two former senior officers arrested last week are accused of awarding $2 billion in bogus deals for fighter jets, helicopters, weapons and ammunitions that were meant to bolster the fight against Boko Haram. However, the arms were never delivered. For analysis of the arrest, I spoke to Hussein Abdu, the country director of Action Aid in Nigeria. I started by asking him how successful the president would be in his battle against corruption.
It's a very difficult one. For us, you know that you can practically feel President Buhari's resolve. You can feel it. You can touch his resolve to fight corruption. But Nigeria is a very complex country, and corruption has permeated practically everywhere in the country. It is almost at the level that you begin to feel, do people actually care about corruption in the country? Because of the way it is done and the manner and the impunity involved, that people, corrupt politicians and leaders, don't even hide it. They do it. So naturally, we expect corruption to fight back. There is going to be a big fight back. And part of the fight back will be institutional blackmail or the accusation around nepotism or being selective or being against one political party. All those things will be part of the blackmail that will be used to practically undermine the fight against corruption. But the good thing about this fight now is that it is beyond President Buhari, it's beyond him. Nigerian citizens, especially the poor people, have resolved to fight these manners. And therefore, you could see their clear support. So it is so difficult for any government to withdraw from this fight at this level. It will be extremely difficult for the government not to fight corruption now, because that was the reason why Buhari was elected. That was one of the reasons why he won his elections. And people are watching. And we want to take the fight against corruption beyond the presidency or even the government.
Would I be right to say that this is really sending a message to future politicians, even after Buhari leaves office?
Absolutely. That is what we want to see. That is what we want to show. That even if today you are protected by the government of the day and you do whatever you feel like doing with impunity, you can't be protected by the government of tomorrow that you don't know who will be there. And so you should be guided by that, knowing fully well that even years after your own government, something is going to happen. I think that is what is important, that message that politicians have turned politics to a business venture where you make investment with the hope of getting the dividend of that investment. And the dividend has always been picking or stealing people's collective resources for personal purposes. And I think this is the message we want to see sending. And this is what Nigerians are talking about today.
I was speaking to Hussein Abdu. He's the country director of Action Aid in Nigeria. And we do apologize for the poor quality of the sound.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
The Forum for China-Africa Cooperation Summit came to an end with the two parties agreeing to prosper together. African presidents meeting in Johannesburg praised the historic summit, saying it has taken China-Africa relationship to the highest level ever. South African President Jacob Zuma particularly said Africa's partnership with China is a win-win cooperation. China's President Xi Jinping announced $60 billion of assistance and loans for African states. Whereas she noted that the momentum of rapid growth in Africa was unstoppable, some analysts say China is only taking a gamble on future African growth. Tuso Komalu reports from Johannesburg.
China decides to provide a total of $60 billion of funding support.
This announcement by Chinese President Xi Jinping at the just-ended FOCAC summit in Johannesburg brought extreme excitement to Africans. It was so much excitement that Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe described President Jinping as a godsend person.
There you are. Here is a man. He is doing to us what we expected those who colonized us yesterday to do.
However, critics of China say it is too early to celebrate. But Ethiopian Minister of Transport Wekne Gebio says massive development that China has undertaken in his country is testimony that China is determined to collaborate with Africa. Ethiopia now boasts of a robust manufacturing sector and world-class road and rail networks. As a result, last year, Ethiopia achieved a 10.3% economic growth. Minister Gebio credits this boom to their partnership with China.
This is a relationship which have something in kind. For example, you can take a lot amount of loans, technology transfer, education, assisting each other in diplomatic fields and so on and so forth.
The agreements made at the summit include the implementation of China's 10 priority programs that will see the country helping Africa with industrialization, agricultural modernization, infrastructure development, finance, green development, trade and investment facilitation, poverty eradication, public health, peace and security. South African President Jacob Zuma has described the outcomes of the summit as an act that has taken China-Africa relations to the highest level ever.
Africa and China are together. Africa and China want to prosper together.
For African countries, the challenge is no longer about where to find the funds for the desperately needed development, but how to spend the billions of dollars dished out by China.
Tuso Kumalu in Johannesburg. Now, in Ghana, students in public tertiary institutions have threatened to go on strike if their government endorses a decision to compel them to pay electricity bills. Students and parents say it should be the Ghanaian government's task to pay school bills. From Ghana, Maxwell Souk reports.
I am at the University of Development Studies students hostel in Tamale. There's a powerful sound system, computers, among other sophisticated gadgets. Perhaps this is one of the burning reasons why the power ministry wants the students to take responsibility for their bills. The March 2015 directive instructs university or college students to cater for their own energy consumptions. But the students say this is not fair.
We need to resist it. We need to cause some demonstration. We need to cause some demonstration here because we can't afford that. We can't.
It's not fair because it's unbearable. Even it's very difficult to pay our school fees. And now we are adding this fee into our fee.
Some students are here catering for themselves. And if they are to pay for utility bills too, which is supposed to be something for the government, I don't think it's fair.
About 2 decades ago, the Ghanaian government decided under a common consensus known as the Akosombok Accord to give up the 70% subvention of utility consumption for institutions like public schools. Despite the Energy Ministry's directive to reverse the decision, the Deputy Minister for Education, Samuel Okudzeto Ablakwa, has appealed to student leaders in Ghana to be calm as the government takes steps to resolve a standoff.
For now, the cabinet decision I keep referring to says that they are not to pay. I'm not aware of any change. The position is that students are not to pay for utilities.
Student leader Elon Maule Kweu says negotiations are ongoing, but if talks fail, more actions will follow.
We are hoping that we would arrive at a consensus where all the parties, all the stakeholders will be satisfied. But should talks break down, what it means is that we have exhausted all the diplomatic avenues and we'll take it a step further. That is where aggression will be introduced to fighting for the interests and the cause of students.
The Ghanaian cabinet has not yet given a formal comment on the issue. For now, it is unclear whether the student voices will be heard before the directives take effect in 2016.
Maxwell Souk reporting. It's now time to learn by hearing. Up next is Crime Fighters.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Welcome to the sixth episode of Crime Fighters, The Radical Journey, in which the police are trying to get at the truth behind a mysterious death. Zora Kasim was a young woman from a good family who carried out a suicide bombing in a shopping mall. Cadet Inspector Jude, who's also Zora's ex-boyfriend, has decided to go undercover. He's trying to infiltrate a terrorist group that's known to be recruiting disaffected youth. In the last episode, Jude managed to speak to Cecilia, an old friend from school. She is now the girlfriend of the group's leader, a warlord named Scambo. Jude also tipped off the police about his friend Bobo, who was about to carry out a bombing as his initiation into the terrorist group. Before Bobo could detonate the bomb, Inspector Brenda arrested him. At the beginning of today's episode, called Politics and Terror, Bobo is at the police station with Inspector Brenda and Mr. Cletus, the commissioner.
Tell me, Bobo, there were more than a dozen detonators and even three grenades in the place where you buried the bomb. Why?
I was only told to come and collect the detonator. Everything else was already in place before I came into the picture.
Then why did you tell your accomplice that you buried the device yourself? You're lying. So, Bobo, this initiation test, what do you get when you complete it?
I get paid.
How much?
I wasn't going to get the money directly. They were going to pay off my debt. I had borrowed some money.
You seem like a very smart boy, Bobo. Why get involved with all this? Tell us about the man you were chatting to in the cafe.
He's my mentor. I only meet him online.
Why on earth would you talk about planning a bomb attack in a public place like an internet cafe?
I only had an online contact for the guy. Do you think I can afford internet at home? And I didn't think anyone could hear me. There's usually no one in that place. Certainly not cops.
So how did your mentor get the ammunition and bombs to you?
I told you they were dropped off beforehand. I had no physical contact with him.
What's his name?
Maga.
Does he work apart from being your mentor?
Yeah, I think he's some kind of banker. I'm not sure.
Inspector Brenda, call in the sergeant and have him taken away.
Yes, sir. Sergeant, please escort the prisoner back to his cell.
This is the second threatening message I've received today.
Sir, that was what I wanted to talk to you about. I got a message too this morning. It was worrying.
What did it say?
Inspector, I'm sure you love your job. If you want to keep it, drop the terror investigation and tell your colleagues to do the same. The past should stay the past. You won't beat us.
Order, please, members. Order.
Mr. Speaker of the Regional Assembly, I'm still on my feet.
Please proceed. Order.
The issue of security should not be taken lightly. Mm-hmm. It affects every part of our society. Yes. If families are in distress, nobody will be able to farm or transport goods.
Order, members.
It is because of all these issues, Mr. Speaker, and honorable members of the House, that I recommend that we adopt a new law. A law that imposes capital punishment not only on the terrorists who are caught, but also on anyone found to be helping them.
Yes, yes. Order in the House.
Honorable Speaker, I'd like to request that the Committee on Security Matters be given a mandate to work hand in hand with the police, particularly on the current investigation. They should then report back to the House. This will help us decide what steps should be taken.
Order in the House.
We've said it over and over again, but I feel it cannot be emphasized enough. It's poverty and unemployment that are driving our youth into associating with these people.
Unless
these issues are addressed, and soon, we are heading for disaster, Mr. Speaker.
Order. Order in the House.
Mr. Speaker, I have an observation to make regarding the earlier speaker's comments. There's no way a violent criminal act committed by a terrorist can be equated with the crime of aiding and abetting.
Order.
Mr. Speaker.
One person at a time, order.
I strongly oppose any change in the law that would require those convicted of aiding and abetting to be sentenced to capital punishment.
Objection!
Order.
Mr. Speaker.
Order.
I disagree.
Oh, shut up. Shut up, woman. Should you even debate on this topic?
Hey, Mr. Speaker, as a protection, I will speak. Yes. It is my right to speak.
So, Honorable Bomo, what's so urgent that you wanted to meet me tonight?
Well, Kasim, the Regional Assembly is considering passing a law imposing capital punishment on those who assist terrorists.
So why are you worried?
You just don't get it, do you?
Do you also think that I made my daughter carry out the attack?
The police have arrested two people who have confessed to being linked to MAGA. MAGA has been doing our dirty work for a while, financing the Sword Sages terror group with the money we give him. He also helps fuel unrest among the youth when we need it, during the elections, for example.
Are you afraid of the police then?
Me? I even arranged for threatening text messages to be sent to them to scare them off.
How could you do that, Bumo? They're investigating what happened to my daughter. We need to find out the truth.
That's not the point, Kasim. The point is, once they get to MAGA, they might get to us as well. We would be finished.
So get him out of the country.
It's not that easy.
Why not?
Because MAGA isn't just one person. It's more like a code name. We tried to get him out before you came into the picture. We thought we had got rid of him, but he reappeared again and again, and we had to strike a deal.
Are you saying this guy, these guys, are telling us what to do and not the other way around?
MAGA, whoever is hiding behind the name, is everywhere. He may even have friends in the police.
Jude, I've been meaning to ask you something for a while now.
What is it, Brenda?
Zora, you've never talked about her. Jude, I didn't mean to upset you.
No, thank you for asking me. I do need to talk about it. You see, the two of us were fine at university. But after graduation, she began to change.
In what way?
I don't know. There was this strange look in her eyes, and she just became more and more withdrawn. When we started dating, we used to talk about everything. I wanted to ask her what was wrong, whether I could fix anything, but I just couldn't. I was too proud. I was afraid she'd say it was something to do with me.
So what happened?
I ended the relationship. Told her I couldn't deal with her attitude. She just sat there and stared at me. It felt as if I'd somehow confirmed something for her.
Oh, dear. But Jude, are you sure you can keep a clear head working on this case? That you're not too caught up in your emotions?
I'm sure, Brenda. Don't worry. I'm sorry you're taking a risk by covering up for me about it. I'll come clean about this to the commissioner.
And with Jude opening up to Brenda about Zora, this episode draws to an end. Honorable Kasim and his ministerial friend, Honorable Bumo, are worried that things are getting out of hand. How far are they willing to go to guard their reputation? Join us again next time. Meanwhile, you can visit our webpage, dw.com/crimefighters, or join the discussion on Facebook. Goodbye for now.
For more about Africa Link, go to dw.com/AfricaLink. Find out about Africa Link's partner stations. Send us your feedback in a text message and sign up for our newsletter, dw.com/AfricaLink.
And to wind up the program, here is a reminder of our top stories. Nigeria's President Muhammadu Buhari faces a tough task in his fight against corruption. African statesmen say their cooperation with China is a win-win deal. And we've also been hearing how Ghanaian students are battling with challenges facing the education sector. That's it for today. Thank you for listening. I'm Jane Ayeko-Kumet in Bonn, Germany.